Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're the word association. We heard. The implication deserve. Evaluation. We're the word association. We're the word association. We heard. The implication deserve. Evaluation. We're the word association.
Excuse me, you two. Can I interest you in a free sample?
Okay. Well, what are we sampling that's free?
Okay. So this is you can just grab a toothpick here. These are cannolis.
Cannolis.
Mm-hmm. We serve cannolis. The shop name is Cannolis.
Oh. Italian name? Am I allowed to ask that?
You're allowed to ask anything. I mean, there might be repercussions. What was the question again?
Is cannoli Italian?
What race are you?
What race am I?
I'm sorry, you said I could ask anything and I panicked.
Why the 800 meter dash, my boy?
Oh, good.
I was a...
You look like you got good knees and it don't look like you have cannoli knees.
Yes, well, that's the thing, is my dad named this pastry shop Cannoli Knees and then immediately passed away. I don't know if the two things were related, but I inherited the shop. There is a clause in the contract where I cannot sell it. We are hemorrhaging money.
Ah, the cannoli clause. The cannoli clause. That's tough.
There is a cannoli clause, and I tried to start a cannoli fans, but...
Yeah. You could have also left it to your cannoli niece.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that. I think it's because I don't have a niece, but that is good to keep in mind.
And listen, friend, I'm so sorry. I tried to get that free sample of the toothpick, and I think I just cracked the shell.
Oh.
Is there a better way to poke a cannoli?
I'm real sorry. I just grabbed a toothpick and ate it.
Huh. Okay.
I didn't know that I was supposed to get a... So I don't want to take two.
Sure.
Because I don't want to break the rules.
Okay.
Is it okay
if I did just eat a straight up only toothpick.
Would you guys mind signing these release forms that say that I'm not responsible for whatever happens to your bodies?
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time I signed something like that.
Is that toothpick gonna coal?
Write it down first. Sign it out. Canole. Okay. What's
colonies?
The original 13 colonies.
Is it gonna get stuck in my colonies?
Well, it's going to get stuck in your colon, but it's not going to be at ease. It's probably going to be sideways. It's probably going to puncture something important in there.
I got a big meeting this week.
Oh, is that pistachio?
That is pistachio. I want to apologize. You pierced the nut. I did forget to unshell. Shell? You say shell nuts, right?
You would shell a nut, because I think if you unshell it, I guess, wouldn't shelling and unshelling be the same thing?
Wait, why? You shell peanuts? That doesn't sound right. Shell sounds like you're putting them back
in. No, you don't shell peanuts. You shell cannolis.
I do. Let me shell some cannolis. It's going to be Johnny Carson. It's going to be a really big shoe. The Beatles.
Yes.
Johnny Carson, of course. The Beatles premiered on Johnny Carson. And we all know that in this world.
Oh, the Ed Sullivan Show.
Who?
Nothing.
Ed Sullivan?
Who?
Yeah, Ed Sullivan. This is not bad. I'll say that for a cannoli, I didn't know what to expect. This is pretty good. This is something I would bring to a dinner party. If you're looking for a sound bite or something to write, this is a thing I could bring to a dinner party.
Yes,
for sure.
Thus the boom mic, and thank you so much for circling. Of course, you see on the clipboard I have two options. You can circle. One is not bad, and one is not great. And
I don't know. I feel like you're trying to inset me like Christopher Canolan.
Sound it out.
Christopher Canolan.
What is this?
He is the director of Inception.
Oh, Christopher Canolan. Yes, of course.
I feel like you have these two ideas, and you're trying to put it in our head without us thinking about it.
What am I doing?
You're trying to make us fill out these things and put an idea in our head that wasn't our own.
Wait a minute. Do you guys see?
I didn't even try the cannoli. I ate the toothpick.
Do you guys see that my shirt is spinning round and round and round? My top is just spinning like crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Yeah. It's not stopping. Does that mean we're...
Uh-oh.
Does that mean we're actually a podcast called The Word Association and I'm Adil Rafai?
If that's true, that means that we're a podcast and I'm Rob White.
Whoa.
That's true. This is a podcast, and I'm Adil White.
Two truths and a lie.
No, I'm lying. I'm Brett Lyons.
You motherfucker. And also,
that's
Tom Hardy
they call me
is our
Brett
guest
Lyons.
Today.
Oh, Tom Hardy's here?
Yes, nice. I like cannolis too.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Word Association. Grab a seat. Take a load off.
Relax and let your hair fall down.
I hate people saying take a load off. I don't know why.
Well, it's in my favorite song, but other than that.
Yeah, the band says take a load off. Fanny?
Yeah.
I hate when someone goes to the bathroom and takes a poop and they come out and they say, boy, I feel 5 pounds lighter.
That or your pants fit better. You know what I don't like?
Enough to think that you were holding on to that much shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Holding on to? Hold on. let's really parse through that phrase. Holding on to shit? So you think they were... They're stockpiling.
They've had to go for days, but they're just fighting
like toilet paper during the quarantine.
No, I mean, whatever. I mean, you might have been stopped up.
Never gonna let you go. I don't like the phrase "my dogs are barking."
Okay, why? I agree with you, Rob, but why don't you like it?
I just don't.
You don't like having that dog in you?
I don't know. When people take their shoes off and they go, "Oh, my dogs are barking." I don't know what that. Yeah, I don't know.
Here's what I'll challenge.
I take my pants off and say, "Ugh, boy, my snake is slithering."
Disgusting.
And then I go, 1 point Gryffindor.
You turn it to a sorting hat. Here's what I'll say. I challenge you to, if you don't like a phrase, I would challenge you to come up with a better one. So what do we think, instead of "my dogs are barking," if your feet hurt and you take off your shoes or you have to sit down, what are we replacing that with? We have
10 toes, who knows?
10 toes, who knows? So you were going to sit down with painful feet and go, "Ooh, 10 toes, who knows?"
Yeah, I mean, you don't know why they're hurting. You know, you've been walking around all day. You know, what the fuck?
My idea is your feet hurt, you take off your shoes or you sit down or both, and the phrase is, "Whew, much better."
Oh, that's pretty good.
Well,
we say that, though.
That's already a known phrase.
No.
Yeah. That's
about,
already a known phrase.
What about, "Oh, my leg hands are killing me"?
My leg hands.
Feet, now that I think about it, feet are leg hands.
Foghorn leg hand.
And hands are foghorn leg hand. I say. And I guess that would make hands arm feet.
No, we're not. We can't
we're
do
doing
this.
This is another.
We just did
this.
This
is tree.
This is tree all over.
No, but I do. You know, when you try to think of another phrase, though, this is a really good exercise out of, because it puts into perspective that dogs barking is actually pretty good.
Wow.
For one to just be made up, doesn't it?
You sit down, take your shoes off, and you go, "Whew, below my ankle is a stankle."
Okay, I actually like that one. Got some stankles.
Yeah, I got some stankles.
Girl, you got some stankles on you. Cover them. Just cover
them. What
about
take a load off? Let's keep this going. So you don't like take a load off.
Yeah.
So if you want somebody to come in, you're saying, "Have a seat. Hey, come on in, blank."
Yeah. Yes.
What are you going to say?
Don't fight gravity.
Don't fight gravity.
Yeah.
That's nice.
All right. I like that. I like that.
Because a load off suggests, it's probably true if we're really examining physics.
How about Jesus hung around? You take a seat.
I mean, I guess Jesus did hang around. He is the basis for the Counting Crows song.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't worry, he's not coming back for 3 days. That seat's
what about,
open.
What about, hey, come on in. This couch isn't going to sit itself.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Because then the couch would be hovering in the air, waiting to sit on somebody else.
I think that's also a play on a line from Requiem for a Dream that I won't repeat here.
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah.
How about, hey, come on, that cushion needs pushing.
Okay. The cushion needs pushing. But that I feel like that's a little too suggestive.
It's a well, too true.
Because you're talking about a couch cushion, but if you say more cushion for the pushing, you're talking about something else. Well, while we figure it out, why don't we get into our words here, and we can always chime in with, in the middle of someone's sentence, we'll chime in with an idea.
Sure, sure.
As is custom.
As is customary.
My banker deals with my assets. My couch deals with where your ass
sets. Brett, number one with a bullet is what I'd say.
That's good.
My word today is cherish, which I guess, you know,
cherish
you sit on chairs.
Thank you, Brett, because I was just thinking.
Who sings that song?
You're thinking, that sounds like a Madonna song.
Is that a Madonna song?
Yeah, Cherish.
I knew that one.
The song's fucking called Cherish.
I don't know. Here's
what were you saying, Adel, about a seat?
Well, Cherish, not spelled the same, but it has chair in it. We were just talking about seats.
Oh, or something that's sort of like a seat. It's Cherish.
If you're embarrassed
it's
to
not
sit
quite
down.
A,
yeah,
it's not quite a seat, right?
Yeah.
It's my new
Cherish.
If you're embarrassed to sit down, you're a little
it's
Cherish.
It's also my new ABC sitcom starring Anthony Anderson. It's called Cherish. The one Madonna song, not the one Madonna song, but Holiday, another one word Madonna song. I feel like Holiday is like the best Madonna song. Like if Holiday comes on, I get very excited. I don't know if that's because it's in the Snatch soundtrack. And I've listened to that soundtrack thousands of times, and it just...
It's also odd that it's a popular song in America, but we don't take holidays. We say take vacations.
What are your thoughts on This Used to Be My Playground? I gotta be honest, I don't hate that song.
Here's what I'll tell you. I know that one line. This used to be my playground.
Used to be my childhood dream.
It used to be the place I ran to.
Run away
whenever
I was in need. Not afraid.
Why did it have to end?
But here's what I have to say.
I smell sex in hand.
So I always say.
But yeah, no, that's, yeah.
Marcy's
I saw the Madonna in concert.
I saw the Madonna? What'd you say?
I saw the Madonna.
Somebody who found the Shroud of Turin, they're like, I saw the Madonna. And someone's like, no, that's Jesus. And they're like, oh, I thought I saw the Madonna.
Yeah. So I went and saw her last tour. Right now, I think she's touring like Greatest Hits thing. Mm-hmm. But I went to saw her like Madam X or whatever, where it was like kind of like a artistic thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she did a couple of her classic songs, and then she did like some of her new stuff or whatever. It was like at the Chicago Theater, so it was like we got last minute tickets. She's kind of slightly
bonkers.
Well, first of all, it was a Monday night. You had to put your phone in a bag.
Ugh, Garfield could never.
The concert started at 10 p.m. That's what it said on the ticket. She will not start performing until the room is, I believe, 94 degrees.
Wow.
So it was a sold-out show that didn't start until like 11 o'clock at night on a Monday, and it was hot. Fucking hotter than shit in the theater. And like, she wasn't doing her like best of things. So, I mean, we were a little bit towards the back, and I gotta tell you, there were times where people were just kind of angry because like she was playing newer stuff, which no one wants to hear that, period. But then also it was just like, she was doing a lot of call and response. The audience was like, we don't know these songs. We don't know what's going on. And it was so fucking hot and it was so late,
Brett,
that people were fed up a little bit.
I got to be honest. I have zero sympathy for you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. If you buy a ticket for Crazy, you're going to see Crazy. You cannot complain about.
You got what you paid for.
I did get what I paid for. That's true. But we had it was before we had a kid. I love it actually. I love the phone bag stuff. Honestly, I do for concerts because I love
the
watching the show and not like watching the show through the fucking person in front of me who's holding up their phone. Mm-hmm. But I gotta understand. I gotta feel like it's gotta be so hard because I haven't been one since I've had a kid, and I'm like, that's gotta be so hard to like in case of emergency, or like, you know, when a kid, when our child was littler, we, our camera, we could see it even if we were out, mm-hmm. and we would just like to look and check in every once in a while. It's just kind of so scary for that reason.
People did it forever up until 1999 or 2000. People would do that forever. They would go out to dinner.
I get it,
date,
but things, times have changed. And if you're your first time parent, and like, what if something happened with a baby and they try to call you and your phone's in a fucking bag? Like,
yeah, Rob, pull up the numbers. How many people died before 1999 or whatever?
Yeah, a lot. It's going to be a lot. Yeah.
Because everyone's out to dinner.
Yeah. Sometimes people were, nowadays you find out right away when somebody dies. Back then, it took 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
And that's where we get the term out to lunch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, you know, are there a lot of songs that Cherish in it? Because I was also thinking of other songs like, I do cherish you, whoever sings that.
Why do birds suddenly?
Maybe I sounded like that.
Yeah, it sounded like that.
I think it was like an R&B song is what I was, if you ask me, I love you this much.
I would say probably, but it is a word that you don't throw around a lot.
No, not in every day. You don't hear anybody say like, oh,
wow.
I cherish this meeting.
Okay, here's, I typed cherish into Spotify, and here's the top results.
Great.
Number one, Cherish by The Madonna. I saw The Madonna.
The Madonna.
The Madonna.
Number two, and this is of interest to the three of us. Number two is a song called Cherish, again, just the one word, by The Association.
Oh.
Now, is this us from the future and we've dropped the word because we ran out of words and now we're just the association and we started a band?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Number three, and this might be the weirdest fucking name of a band I've ever heard, and I've never heard of this band in my life, and I'm going to make note to listen to this song later because I'm curious. Again, just the single word Cherish as a song title. The band's name is Sour Widows.
Oh, that's so weird that you have a different list than I, Adel, because the first two that you listened to, because I also put up on Spotify.
Yeah.
And my third one was Cool in the Gang. And I was going, he's never heard of Cool in the Gang?
Cool and the who? Cool in the Gang is number four for me. That's interesting.
Did you just type in Cherish in yours?
I just typed in Cherish.
And I got to do it too because
the association.
Here's what I'll say. Full disclosure: it was Madonna, The Association, and then it showed Cherish artist and Cherish artist. So I guess there's two bands called Cherish.
Oh,
but I skipped those to go to the song, and the third song was Cherish by Sour Widows.
I've got Cherish, the first two we talked about, and then I have Cherish, an audiobook by Tracy Wolf. I don't even see the song you're talking about. I don't even have that band, Adel, that you're talking about.
Me neither. I have Cherish by David Cassidy, and I believe that song is, I think I cherish you.
So what am I so afraid of? Sour Widows, how much of a bad day do you have to have to see like a group of widows weeping and wearing black and be like, ugh, these fucking bitter bitches, like these sour widows.
That sounds like a fun Halloween candy, to be honest.
Sure.
It sounds like
a sour widow.
Remember like Airheads or Warheads?
Grandma face, just sucking on a grandma face.
Much better band name than Four Non Blondes.
Brett, don't do this. You're outnumbered.
Actually, if we were sequelizing, First Wives Club could become
Sour Widows. Oh, there you go.
Diane Keaton is Sour Widows.
Well, I'm sorry. Beebo, babo, beebo, beebo, beep. Sequelizer activated. First Wives Club.
Who? Okay, First Wives Club.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Second Wives Club.
Wives Out. Play on Knives Out.
Oh, Wives Out's good.
Wives like the wives are finally leaving. For Once in Your Wife, It's a Beautiful Wife.
Ooh, For Once in Your Wife is good. It's a beautiful, yeah.
First Wives Club, I Do Again.
I Do Too, the number two.
I Do Too. I like
I
that.
Do Too, T-O-O.
Or the number two. You caught me at a bad time because I was trying to Google Sour Widows.
Okay.
And what's weird is I can't really... I'm not
you
finding like
a
Wikipedia.
Phone in a bag. You got to put a phone in a bag for this podcast, my man.
It's a phone in a bag.
Sequelizer shut down. Yeah, that was a weak sequelizer. Distraction by the Sour Widows finding out who they are.
I can't really find anything. Is this a
I don't
real
think
they
and exist.
It's only on my Spotify account? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't have it.
That is weird.
Okay. What's going on here? Okay, hold on. Here's something. Sour Widow's Low Doser. Singer-guitarist Maya Sinaiko. Where did I? Wait, just disappeared. Is someone deleting the internet as I search it? So
I found Sour Widow's. They've got something. They've got an album. It's called Revival of a Friend. Pre-order now. I believe it's out June 28th. Cherish out now.
Okay.
And so Cherish must be one of their hits. It looks like a three-person band.
Okay.
For anybody in, I don't know, if anybody in San Diego, they'll be doing the Voodoo Room on June 20th, the Constellation Room in Santa Ana, California on the 21st, Sunset Tavern, Seattle, Washington, July 10th. I'm not going to read any more of their dates, but you've got some chances to see them.
Here's, thank you, Rob, let's put Sour Widow's on the charts.
And then maybe they could put us on the charts. It'll be
nice. I wasn't researching Sour Widow's. So I was just thinking about how she became sour.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like she used to be sweet, and then she's no longer.
Well, because her fucking husband died.
Well, but that's not, that makes someone sad. It doesn't make them sour.
You can be sour. I can
sour.
Be bitter.
You shake your fist at the heavens and you say, why?
She's an airhead.
I don't deserve this. Here's what's weird, is that I found an article about the new Sour Widow song, Cherish, which is what, new gives the secret away. This is from April 10th, 2024. So this song, Cherish, just came out, we don't want to date the podcast, but very, very, very recently, which is wild. And here's something. This is from Maya Sinaiko, who I believe is the lead singer of Sour Widow. Cherish, the song, is a plea for love disguised as a curse against the world.
Ooh.
I was a very angry person. I went through several years of being emotionally volatile. Okay.
What? Okay, I got to pause this. What are we fucking doing here? I don't need to know anything about this band. I don't need to know any more fucking information about Cherish. You guys went down the deepest dive.
Huh, you're not curious.
About someone we've never heard of.
You're not a curious person
in my life.
You don't, plug in space.
Yeah, maybe when I'm sitting on my couch when I'm recording a podcast.
Okay.
I'm 100% going to listen to Sour Widow's Cherish.
Yeah, I was going to, too.
Of course you will.
And I honestly, the David Cassidy one, too, because I do like David Cassidy.
Well, yeah, Rob, it falls right into your motif of things that people don't know about.
Are there things that you cherish? Do you guys cherish anything? It's just such a word that I don't, because you love something, but cherish is more than love.
Yeah.
It's like what? It's
you hold
it's
dear.
Really, really value, really treasure.
Yeah. To me, it's something where it's like, to me, it evokes
you
like a
time together, right?
Yes. Cherish our time together. But it evokes to me personally, it evokes
doesn't
like.
Doesn't necessarily apply here, but.
Wow.
It evokes to me like ephemera.
I cherished our Sour Widow time.
Our Sour Widow time. It evokes like ephemera where it's like, I have photos of my grandparents where it's like, this is the only copy. And like, I cherish, like, this is something that's really important to me. If there was a fire, I would probably grab my box of like old photos where it's like,
or like a Steppenwolf acting class.
Thank you for the callback. What kind of
You're
donut
welcome.
Would you be? What kind of cannoli would you be? A cannoli. See me after class. But to me, it's something that you hold dear because you assign it some amount of like,
yeah.
Emotional value.
Yeah, it's got a special
emotional
place in your
value.
Heart. It has
yes.
a special place in your heart.
But you wouldn't, like, if you had a PS5, you wouldn't, most likely, you would not cherish it.
You don't
right?
cherish
it. It's replaceable.
It'd be a bummer.
But replaceable. Yes.
Yeah.
What about that? When somebody walks into your house, you could say, hey, instead of take a love, you say, have a bummer. No?
Oh, have a bummer?
I like that.
Okay.
Have a bummer.
That's not bad.
Sounds like
that's not bad. I can fuck around with that.
I could fucks with a bummer.
Yeah, I could fucks with a bummer.
It does feel like this might be a catalyst for me using Cherish more in my everyday life because I feel like it is a good replacement, not a replacement, but it's a good way to expound upon love versus like, oh, I love this sweater you got me to be like, oh, I will cherish this. And I think that lets them know I will hold this in high regard. I will try and take care of it. I will try and wear it often or like wear it, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good
it's
word.
Too much to deliver on, in my opinion. It's just like.
You think it's a promise.
But it's just like, it's too much. You're putting too much into it.
I don't know if it's, I think I will use value more than chips. I think that's something I'm more comfortable saying.
This.
Like, I really value our time together.
Yeah,
because like,
at work,
hey,
sometimes
I really value this
award.
Object.
You can win a value award at work, but you're not going to win a Cherish award.
Or just saying, like, you know, this time together is really valuable. I really appreciate
I value
it
our friendship. I put a price
value
on it.
Value friendship.
Yeah.
Cherish a friendship. It's nice too. If somebody said that to me, I would like do a double take. I would appreciate it, but I'd be like, what?
I'd do a spit take.
I cherish our friendship.
Snap out
I'm
of it.
I'm friends with gypsies, tramps, and thieves. That's if you cherish.
Oh,
a
you
friendship.
Cherish.
Cherish, babe.
Yeah.
I sound like Bane.
Hey, babe.
Okay, hold on. Here's Cher. Cherish, babe, moonlight. And then here's Bane. Cherish, babe, you were born.
No, it's too.
Can you combine and say, I've got you, Bane?
Oh, there
you
go.
Holy shit.
Wow, you got it right there.
Bane, I got you. I want you to hold my hand.
He died in a skiing accident.
Oh, Brett. Come on. We were singing I Got You, Bane, and then you brought that up?
He got hit by a wood.
He ran into a wood.
He ran into a wood.
I've got you, Bane. That is incredible, actually. This is actually incredible, and this is actually the best thing that's ever happened on the podcast. So because that's the case, we're going to take a break now so that we don't spoil what we just created here, and we'll be right back.
So cherish these ads. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Our dogs are barking. We'll be right back.
My ankles are stankles.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. And we've Googled, we spent 15 minutes Googling. And folks, here's what we found. Cher, four letters. Bane, four letters. So.
Isn't Bane five letters?
Brett. Buddy, Brett. Hold on.
Isn't it
Brett?
B-A-I-N-E?
Whoa, Brett. Whoa, buddy, whoa.
I know, it's crazy that I would be questioning anything to do with spelling. But I'm pretty sure it's B-A-I-N-E.
And I'm pretty sure it's S-H-A-R-E.
That's how you spell Cher.
Yeah. So what have you been
who's
Googling,
the idiot?
Man?
Who's the idiot here?
I love the idea of like a parent talking to their kids and being like, Wendy, I want you to try and share. Okay, Mom. Snap out of it. Okay, before we get to Brett's word, we're going to put him in a little bit of a timeout for how he spelled Bane. I do want to read an email here. This is from Ken. Ken says, hi, folks. My name's Ken.
What did Ken say? Ken said, what did Ken say? Ken said, he said, I got a mail for you. Yes, I do. I got a mail for you. Ken can too. Ken can what? Ken can mail. Ken can read. Ken can sail. Ken can do anything. Yes, he can.
Because he can. My name's Ken. Been a listener from the
Excuse me, Adel?
Yeah?
Please. It's just for me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we'll cut out that I had any musicality because Brett's trademark is singing anything. So sorry, I forgot about that, Brett.
Yes, thank you.
My name's Ken, been a listener from the beginning, crossed over from, yes. I listen to many podcasts often while driving. I was listening to the Jest Hijinks Psyche Show episode while my three-year-old daughter was in the car. Now, she never acknowledges what's being said in podcasts, but this morning, right after Brett said flamingos have very loose assholes, she gasped. I was horrified for a second, and then she shouted, he said flamingos. She was delighted to hear you talk about an animal she loves. So glad the rest of the conversation went over her head. She kept chiming in and seemed to enjoy the show, so I wanted to let you know you have a three-year-old fan. Thanks for the show. It's quickly become a fave, Ken. Ken, thank you so much. And
awesome.
Ken's daughter, thank you so much. And flamingos.
Flamingos.
Yeah, my daughter is currently a flamingo.
What's this now?
My daughter broke, or she fractured her toe.
Oh, no.
And so she has to wear a walking boot right now. So
just like
when
a flamingo.
She stands up on the changing table, we say, stand like a flamingo.
Oh.
So she stands on one leg and then she opens up her loose asshole and lets the flamingo juice come flying out.
Brett, no.
Don't do it.
We have 3-year-old listeners.
We have 3-year-old listeners.
Sorry.
Clean it up.
Blippi. Oh, I love Blippi.
Also, Brett, it might.
If this is Ken's daughter listening, do not look up.
Do not look
what Blippi's first video was before he became Blippi. It's the Harlem Shake. Don't look it up. I know you have access to YouTube. Do not type in Blippi Harlem Shake.
Brett, also, I don't know if your kid did hurt her toe. It might be that you have her on an all shrimp diet and she got gout. So you might.
That's true. Could be. It could be. Maybe that's what we're telling her flamingo. Yeah, it's true.
Her hair has turned pink. Did you
know that when flamingos are born, they're gray? They don't become pink until later on in life?
Yeah, because they eat shrimp.
They're born gray.
Yeah. And then they turn pink because of their diet.
Of shrimp?
Brett, how do you think shrimp is spelled?
S-H-A-R-M-P. Shrimp.
Shrimp. Brett, we can't get into a whole Bubba Gump.
We just can't do it.
Brett, what is your word today?
My word today is prestigious.
See, I like to say prestigious.
Prestigious. Prestigious.
Well, I think you could do either. It's just more of a whichever.
I feel like
it's either.
I would say prestigious.
I would say prestigious.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would say, I received a very prestigious award.
Yeah.
And I would say, no, that word was prestigious.
See, you even doubted yourself while you were correcting me.
I before E, except a prestigious.
Well, prestigious British pronunciation, enunciation, whatever you want to say.
No, you're thinking of my cousin Prestige. She's she is a British woman.
Mm.
Marissa Tomei, very British.
I love my name's Prestige.
I think, well, it has absolutely like there's like a fancy quality to it. It has airs, that word. You know, it's like, oh, this is a.
You, people are reciprocants, yes, of prestigious awards.
Sure.
Yeah.
Prestigious.
You don't have to tell me that. I fucking said it.
School. You can attend a prestigious school. You can be from a prestigious family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Family can have prestige.
Silver spoon in your mouth.
Sure.
Sure.
Ricky Schrader. Yeah.
There's that fantastic movie called The Prestige, but that's different than the word we're talking about.
It's the magic stuff, right?
So The Prestige, I always conflate these two movies because I feel like there was two that came out at the same time.
There were.
One was Edward Norton and one was Christian Bale. Prestige is Christian Bale.
Bale and Hugh Jackman,
It's Christopher Nolan, right?
Yes, it is Christopher Nolan. David Bowie's in it as well. That is a fantastic
Tesla.
Fucking movie.
Yes. And the
other one, I don't think the Edward Norton one.
What's that one called? Because it was it was like a Deep Impact Armageddon situation.
Oh, it was like him and Richard Gere where he was on trial.
Primal Fear.
Nope.
Was that it?
No. I don't know which one you're talking about. Another magic thing, but that's okay. But that's a different, what else would be prestigious? Could something be prestigious that's not like an award? That's what I'm trying to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You can go to a prestigious school or your family can just be, oh, this is a very prestigious family. They've been, a lot of history, a lot of.
Is it wealth? And
I think there's a wealth layer to it.
Wealth.
But it's wealth, but also like there's also some kind of maybe. Class
social.
Or level,
yeah,
like
class,
like because not everything. Something could be prestigious but not wealthy. It could be how
I think.
Yeah,
I don't know of a
prestigious chicken wing place.
Oh my good sir, then you have not been to Sir Walter Chickens the Third. I feel like wealth can be a part of it. Can be like a catalyst to gaining prestige or being prestigious. But I feel like it has to do with like. It's something well regarded, right? I think the collective, whether it be a company or a group of people or the world as a whole, I think they have to hold that in like high regard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if something's coveted, if there's like a position in a company that's coveted, that would be like a prestigious position, mm-hmm. right?
I sure.
would think. The Illusionist, 2006 mystery romance.
That was it.
Not as good.
Whoa, directed by Neil Berger? Yum. Quite the cast. Jessica Biel, Edward Norton, Paul Giamatti, Aaron Taylor Johnson, otherwise known as Kick-Ass, Jake Wood, don't know that guy.
Oh, you're talking about Jake Tree?
Sorry, Jake Tree. My apologies.
Have you or anyone in your family been the recipient of something prestigious?
Nope.
Because we've all won awards for something, you know, if it's an improv, whatever, but we wouldn't call that a prestigious award.
No, we would not call that prestigious.
Eat a 70-ounce steak in an hour. We've all done something prestigious.
Sure, for sure. I mean, I would put that on a prestigious, that would be a prestigious award.
Mm-hmm.
To get a photo on the wall that's not like the shame wall, mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty prestigious award for us type of people.
Did I tell you guys when we went to, World News Tonight, the show that the three of us are part of.
The prestigious show.
The prestigious show, World News Tonight, which I think are we celebrating 20 years or something soon?
Award nominated.
We're already past 20 years. Anyway, at some point we were brought out to Des Moines, Iowa to do a 2-week residency at like a brand new theater. There was maybe five or six of us in the cast. And a guy came out, a local businessman came out to the first show, and he is very wealthy, very well known, very, very prestigious individual in town. And he enjoyed the show so much that the next day he was like, I want you all to come to one of my restaurants. He had several businesses, but one of his restaurants was this place that was known from being on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Nice.
And they had a challenge where it's like, you have to eat this burger that's like six patties, eight buns, waffle fries, et cetera, et cetera. But he was like, get whatever you want. But Becca Barish and I, we were like, we got to get this burger, right? So we ordered it, and it was a behemoth. Like, you couldn't, we ate each maybe like a 20th of it, and then we were just like, this is too much. But the guy also owned a strip club. This is why I bring this up. The guy also owned a strip club in town called the Lumberyard, and we were all at the restaurant. He had gone back to the kitchen or something. We were all at the restaurant being like, why is it called the Lumberyard? And then one of us had the realization, it's called the Lumberyard because you go there to get wood.
Yeah.
Which,
come on, yes.
I didn't put that together until
which to
just
me
now.
Is like,
what do you think? It was just old strippers who are lumbering around the stage.
They need lumbar support.
Yeah.
I feel like that's above most of Des Moines' head. Like, I feel like that's too good of a.
Honestly, I thought it would maybe be a male strip club called the Lumberyard because that would
like
make
lumberjacks.
Sense to me.
Yeah.
No, just like hardwood.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I guess after you said it out loud, it makes a lot of sense. But I didn't put that together either. I was trying to think about why it was called that as well. But I will say, because I was not on that trip, but if a wealthy guy was like, hey, I saw this show, I loved it, let me take you out to dinner, get whatever you want. In my mind, I'm going to a nice place, not a place with a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives burger challenge. I'd be like, oh, what?
Sorry if I failed to mention, he owned the place.
I realize that.
Oh, yeah.
But okay. I just assume, like, oh, this really rich guy wants to take me out to dinner.
Fancy.
Like some steaks, bottle of wine. And he's like, no, this is if you can eat 10 pounds of chicken nuggets, I'll give you a sweatshirt.
His other strip club was called Buttle of Wine.
Buttle of Wine?
Buttle of Wine. And is this a puddle of mud riff? What are we doing?
Like butt.
Oh, like bottle into butt. It's a bit of a long walk.
Well, close to the lumberyard.
No, the other strip club is called Boners. You go there to get a boner is why it's called that.
You go there
to
see boners? You go there and you're like, dad boner. And your papa. Your papa's thing, papa boner. I thought you were going to say, Rob, like, this guy comes out and he's like, yeah, you can, I love the show. Why don't you come with me? And it's like, you want me to eat this burger in an hour and then fuck your wife while you watch? Cuckadoodledoos. That's my restaurant where.
Cuckadoodledoos.
Cuckadoodledoos is my, it's a wings restaurant. It's a prestigious wings restaurant. You have to eat 48 wings in 30 minutes. After that, you do have to fuck my wife.
Indecent proposal, drive-ins and dives. I'm Guy Fieri. We're rolling out. Looking to have sex with somebody's wife. And
I just go to Culver's and get the frozen custard.
Ooh, some nice frozen custard. And they'll hold their wife upside down to
see?
Be like, see?
No, that's
would you rather
fuck
have gone to a
tree?
Dan,
you rather
have you? Jesus, would you rather? I can't do the tree thing. It's throwing off the rest.
Yeah,
of the words.
It's hard to say.
It really is hard.
Well, then say Jesus.
Have gone to a prestigious school?
Yeah.
Or have won a prestigious award?
I would. Here's what I'll say.
Or anything, I guess, prestige. Yeah. Like what?
I feel if I went to the school,
like I have very little prestige.
If I went
in my
to the
life,
school,
so I don't
then I
know.
Maybe would also get the award later on. Because if I went to a prestigious
Ooh,
school,
maybe
I might. Maybe. I'm on the path to maybe get a prestigious award.
Maybe
we award Brett Lyons with the 2024 Most Yale Award.
Most likely to be prestigious. Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. I think having been
a strip club right over there called Yankin' Yales.
I'm a Yankin. Oh, can't sing.
You just can't sing about
having
male.
Been a, I'm sorry, of course. Having been to Princeton reunions and like hung out with a lot of people who've been to Princeton, I would go to the prestigious school, but not because, I mean, of course, the education is going to be great, stellar.
Sure.
But I think the people who go to prestigious schools are so fucking, for the most part, so fucking set up in life. One, because they have the money to go there, of course. Mm-hmm. But the connections they make, I feel like people from those schools look out for each other for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's people in businesses where it's like if the person who's the head of a company or something sees 20 resumes and one of them is Princeton and they went to Princeton, they're going to hire that person.
Oh, Princeton man, huh?
Yes. So there's such a incestuous sort of camaraderie.
Sure.
For life, for the rest of your life. And something like reunions. They go back every year. Everyone who ever went to Princeton goes back every year to reunions.
Wild. Yeah.
And they hang out with each other. They meet new people. And it's it's such a boost and a boon to careers, to friendships, getting your foot in the door for anything. And it's I'm kind of envious of like how set up people are in that regard. Yeah,
sure.
It is cool. I don't know. I have never been to a high school or college reunion.
No,
and
me
zero
neither.
Zero desire.
Same, yeah.
You know, literally zero desire. I'm very much like, that was, loved it, no regrets, had a great time, enjoyed everybody I knew, but it just feels like, to me, life is like segments, you know?
Sure.
You just kind of move through.
I don't want to be like
I guess it's
lumber,
nice to go
a
back.
Lumber measuring, you know, contest no, would like to go back to the... You know, the place and your...
I could not imagine a commitment of an every year anniversary to me is...
Well, no one does every... Well, I guess, yeah, you're saying Princeton. College does every year?
No, yeah, I think, oh, yeah, I think some every places single year. Do. Some places do. Like, it's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
We went to reunions and there's people who are literally 80-some years old and then there's people who graduated last year. So it's truly everyone. And they have special jackets made. When it's like your anniversary year, they do like a special thing for you. There's special logos for each year. There's like parades. It's truly insane. And there's so much money pumped into it. There's so much, again, so much like glad handing and being like, what do you need me to put you in contact? Let me contact blank and they'll.
Is it the university every year, someplace around that?
Yes.
Or is it travel?
Yeah.
Is it like
it's different? on the campus.
Jeez Louise, that's, I mean, you go but to college for 4 years, not for the rest of your life.
I mean, I think our friend Rush Howell, I think this year is his. I forget what makes it like, I don't know if it's 25th or something, but whatever the special graduation year is to where it's like your years. Cause every year it's like we're celebrating everyone, but this year is like
specifically. Oh wow.
Year.
Okay.
And that class designs the logo or coordinates events or who plays it or whatever.
Gotcha.
Pretty wild. Well, let's graduate from that word, which I forget what it was.
Prestigious.
It was prestigious. Of course they were twins. That's how they did the trick. And let's graduate over to Rob White's word.
My word is turbulent.
Immediately think of flights.
Yes.
We're experiencing some turbulence. We're about to experience some turbulence.
Mm-hmm. That's number one for me.
Have you ever been on a flight you thought was going to crash?
Not crash, but a rocky flight or one where there, you know, the little bit of turbulence where you kind of dip down a little and it's like a woo.
No.
Like that's not the best, right? But I've been on ones where it was like a longer drop than that, like too long almost. Ooh. That's when you, yeah.
I don't think I've ever been on a plane that I thought was going to crash, but I fly. I just don't like flying. Any turbulence?
I fly.
I mean, any turbulence, I'm just like, I'm like white knuckled grabbing onto the, to the seat.
Penis?
No. Yeah. Like usually like I can calm myself down with like the steward and the stewardesses like sitting down
flight
quickly
attendants.
And like locking in.
Flight attendants.
Flight attendant. What, can I not say steward and stewardess anymore?
I think no. That's why they have the word flight attendant.
Well, I thought, well, I, whatever. You're right. sorry. Sorry. I don't fly a lot.
You know what? You're right. Why did I think flight attendant? Oh, because my wife is a, what is my wife? Can't remember.
Yeah, but that's on Spirit. So it's a different, it's wow. not a prestigious, it's not a prestigious.
Gemma listens.
I know.
Check your text.
I don't get any texts from, I just,
Gemma's her
no
name.
No college. No, I don't get any college people texts. My phone explodes because I'm so stupid. I'll tell you this. Here's what I dislike when I fly. I don't like being in the clouds. The whole, like, I don't like ascending or descending, and then I stay in the clouds too long, and I can't see above the clouds, and I can't see the ground. Because that's where lightning lives, first of all.
Clouds. Wow. Lightning's home.
Correct.
Here's, Brett, this is a legit question. Do you not like the thought of being in the clouds, or... You don't like literally looking out the window and seeing
clouds. I don't like looking out the window and not being able to see above or the ground. I don't just like being in the cloud.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this or you heard about this. I think this is brand new this year. Mm-hmm. There's these little things on the window you can pull down on.
No, that's even more terrifying to not know what's going on. There could be a gremlin on the wing.
So night flying to you is more terrifying than day flying?
What's that?
Like, is it night flying? Night flying? Like flying at night, where it's
no,
dark.
No, because I can see
you
the lights.
Really see.
I can see the lights underneath me.
But not when you're up.
Well, I'm okay with that because I can see above. If I can see the moon and the stars, then I'm okay. I don't like the cloud, okay? There's just people's contact information, text messages, photos flying
nudes.
Around up there. I don't want the plane to hit it.
You don't like daydreaming?
I know
you don't like having your head in the cloud?
I know there's fucking instruments on the plane that tells the plane where their other planes are at. But just being in the cloud and have zero visibility... And that's where I tend to feel the most turbulence. That's what I don't like whatsoever.
I guess that doesn't really make, because I'm not flying it, you know?
Yeah, but.
So I'm not really worried
about it. So that's even a little bit more so, because then I know that I don't have any control. I know I have no control over this situation.
I would be more terrified if I had some control over the flight of an airplane.
Well, Rob, if you don't put your phone in airplane mode, then
you can fly it.
Yeah. You're trying to crash it.
I will say when I've flown with my grandmother, or not my grandmother, sorry, my mother-in-law, when she was a pilot and she had a plane, she couldn't go above the clouds. And I felt way more comfortable in like a four-seater plane than I do in a big...
No.
Yeah, I did.
Four-seaters are way more like rocky and turbulent.
But it had a parachute attached to it. Like you could pull
that's
a parachute.
Worse. That makes it worse.
That tells you the odds of it crashing are higher.
I just enjoyed it more. We were going slower. Yeah. I could see the ground the whole time. It just felt nice.
Brett, I don't say this to be contrary. I'm not trying to be mean. I don't think I can literally be bothered to find something less terrifying than a cloud. If you were to say what are the things you're least afraid of, I'd be like, cloud number one.
Explain what a cloud is. Explain how it travels, where it comes from. It's just in the fucking sky, my man.
You don't think scientists have found out what clouds are? You think clouds are some sort of...
I don't know what it is. Even if scientists have come up and they've said what clouds are, it doesn't mean we should go in them.
Sir, we've tried to shoot them down and the bullets just go through them. Retreat.
You're in the air.
Pull back. Portion.
You have zero... You can't do anything. That's what's the... Like,
and Brett, here's the thing. Tit for tat. They do nothing.
They house storms.
They don't house storms.
Explain to me where rain comes from.
Clouds.
Thank you.
But, well, it's also God crying.
Sure, and angels bowling. We've all heard it.
We've all heard that.
I think it's just there's no control. If anything happens and a plane were to crash, like, you're just probably gonna die.
You take the probably out. If it crashes, it's most likely, I would say.
Sure. Yeah. Unless the way the pilot lands it. But I feel like if you're on the ground.
unless the way the pilot lands it.
Well, I mean, what's his name? The guy landed on the Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
Sully.
Sully, he landed on the Hudson. Mm-hmm. Everyone was fine.
The people from Lost.
The people from Lost.
Oh, the documentary Lost.
The
yes.
Big Bopper did not make it.
Oh, sure he did. Richie Valens, Big Bopper. The Day the Music Lived is what they call it.
Oh, no.
Brett, you're having a bit. This is what we call the Mandela effect. It seems like you're saying they died. They famously super lived. Which is
Hello,
why we call it the Day
baby.
The Music
Lived. No, did I land? Well, yes, I did.
Chantilly lace. Planes to me, I used to be scared of planes. There was one trip I took to Raleigh, North Carolina, where the
I truly say North Korea, and I'd be like, well, it makes sense.
To Raleigh, North Korea, I truly thought it didn't last long. It was maybe 8 to 10 seconds. I truly was like, this is it. Like, here we go. And people were screaming. It was like one of those things where it's like people were legit screaming and all that stuff. And I was like, oh no. And then it passed, and then I was like, oh, this is fine. And then everyone was like bloodless, like they just white as could be.
Maybe there's a vampire on the plane. You didn't realize it.
Could have been it. But since I've started, well, I was going to say since I started dating Gemma, but now we're married. Since traveling with Gemma so often, flights don't even register.
Yeah, I mean, you do it so much now, then I feel like that would be okay. If I was doing it enough. Mm-hmm. And it's not like there's a lot of times where like a guy or a woman next to me has said like, oh, they've sensed me being weird. And they'd be like, I fly all the time. This is nothing. Because I know if you're up in the sky enough, you can kind of feel and sense like, hey, yeah, this happens when we do. You know, because there's certain places you fly from all the time where it's like just the jet stream. They know it's going to be, you know, turbulent or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if I did it more, I'd probably be less nervous.
How big of a dick move would it be if you could see somebody tensing up next to you and be like, I fly all the time. That was new.
Yeah, that would be bad. That would be
That's
a very bad thing to do to somebody.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Do you have a turbulent relationship with anyone? I feel like that's a term that's thrown around.
Yeah,
a
there's relationships definitely can have turbulence, right?
Which is it, but it's kind of the same definition of like turbulence on a plane where it's like
turbulent times.
You're flying flying the plane, and then there's a little bit up and down, but you're going to a destination together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes your head is in the clouds, which apparently is the most terrifying thing in the world.
Don't say that.
Are you kidding me? 100%.
You can't eat.
I don't have any turbulent relationships. I don't think so.
Do you have a turbulent relationship with? In your mind, is a turbulent relationship with maybe like car mechanic, or maybe they don't know, but in your head you're like,
oh,
excited
turbulence.
Yeah, like you know, there's like someone who works at like the bank where it's just like, I hope I don't get this teller because I just don't enjoy the transaction with them, and it's like, ugh.
This probably doesn't count, but this kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Recently, my family, we went on a little vacation to Fort Lauderdale. We're in a hotel. It was a fine hotel, you know, pool right under the beach.
Under the beach?
The beach. Like, walk past. But there was a ice bucket in the room, right? Mm-hmm. And my wife was looking for an ice machine on our floor. It was a 5-story thing. She couldn't find one. I was like, that's weird. Why would there be an ice bucket if there's no ice? So I called the front desk and I was like, hey, do you guys have an ice machine? She's like, no. I was like, oh, because we have an ice bucket in our
room. Just trying to beat MS. That's
no, ALS. Damn it. It's ALS and you
I'm
beat
sorry.
My
I'm sorry.
I'm literally sitting on a joke and I'm so pissed that you said
so
that.
She goes, and I was like, well, if we have the ice bucket, you know, why do we have that? Where did we get, where is there ice? She's like, yeah. I was like, where? She goes, you just ask us and we bring the ice to you. And I was
what? It's a COVID thing.
And then
it's from COVID. They haven't brought them back in a lot of places.
But then I was like, but then
in
wouldn't
Florida?
You bring the ice in a bucket? Why do I have the bucket?
This sounds like Sal Maniscalco.
And she goes.
Sounds like a Sal Maniscalco bit right here.
I think it's got more layers. But I was like, but I don't understand. But why do I have the bucket? She goes, for the ice. And I was like, okay. And I just hung up. I didn't like the way she answered, but I thought it was kind of a valid question.
Sure.
Rob, you are fully justified in your concern, your confusion, your anger.
And that
anger.
Would be a turbulent thing. Because if
was
anything
turbulent.
Ever happened again and you knew you'd have to call that person, you'd be like, well, I'm
going
to get this.
And as long as we're on the subject, because then I started just stewing for a little bit. What is the whole, how is that a better process? Do I need to plan in advance for ice? What do I, if I call to get ice, will I expect it within an hour?
No,
what is the ice going to be
it.
Like by the time I get it?
The water.
Is it going to be half water by the time I get it? Or will I be like, oh, I don't need the ice anymore. That took too long. I just drank
And you got to tip then. I got to tip the ice guy.
There's so much going on there. Just put the ice machines back.
Ice man.
The tip of the ice guy. That's what sunk the Titanic.
Tip of the ice guy. Oh, yeah.
No, that absolutely sucks. And if it does feel like if that was put into protocol during COVID, it feels like Florida should have no part of that, right?
Sure. Well, it might have been a corporate.
Yeah, that's
came, came down from corporate.
Rob, put this hotel chain on blast.
It was not a chain. It was, and I will say this, it was a great place. Family friendly resort. It was like a one bedroom kind of thing. So there was like a little kitchenette, which was nice too.
Oh,
we had a balcony
nice.
Overlooking the pool. It was a great,
nice.
Overall very nice. I mean, a little dated, but that's fine. It was a great
now,
pool
Rob,
and beach was really nice too.
Rob, I do have to bring up, and this is something you shared with Brett and I over our message group.
Okay.
But I want to ask you on the podcast. You went on, and this is something I've done a while ago, and it was very, very, very fun, a very memorable thing. You went on a fan boat in the Everglades.
Yep.
And
for what? What was it a fan of? Was it
clouds?
Like
ironically.
Fucking
yeah.
That's a terrible
that's
one.
Weird.
I don't know if it was like a Bobby Boucher or like something Adam
nope,
Sandler
we
fan
did.
Boat.
And it was good. Did you go on a private one, Adel? Because we did not.
No, we were on
yeah,
a
Yeah, I should next time I want to. I saw the price difference and I was like, we'll just go get the tickets. And there were maybe like 15 of us on one.
I went on an oscillating one and we just went zigzags. I kept turning the blades.
Well, thank God it went zigzag so you can escape alligators.
Correct.
I went on one and it was just Robert De Niro in a Giant's hat and sunglasses.
Just staring at Wesley Snipes for
just
some reason. Look it up, folks.
It
IMDb, The Fan. So, the worst baseball movies of all time.
No, that's a great movie.
No, Major League is a great movie.
Sure.
But
sure,
it was
sure.
really, I didn't know what to expect about over the Everglades. The Everglades was awesome. And the airboat or fan boat, whatever you call it was so fun to be on that thing. It was so fun to go around.
How was the driver?
Awesome. He was very cool. He used to hunt pythons. He aged out of it.
Easy hunt?
He aged out of it?
Yeah.
His bones became too weak that he knew that he would be crushed?
No, once you turn 60, he said nobody will insure you to do it. Because the pythons are like an invasive species in the Everglades. And they need
really?
To, yes, it's like a big problem. They're eating all the wildlife. They eat alligators, they eat deer, they eat everything. And
they're always
huge.
Trying to return dead parrots.
And they don't... And they don't, right? Yeah.
Funny walks,
never,
I guess, slithers.
No one to expect the Spanish Inquisition. But so they are guys that just go out and hunt python, capture them.
Wow.
And they get paid very little, he said. The guys
do
that
they
do
eat
it
them?
Just. No, I guess they have some parasite or something they need to study. But he just said the people who do it because they love the Everglades. They just want to like save the, because they don't get paid much per snake. But he said once he hit 60, he had to stop. Doing that.
Wait, 60 years old or 60 snakes?
60 years old.
Okay. 60 snakes. I'm like, you know
what?
What'd
you
say? Dogs are not my favorite.
You're done.
Yeah, you're done.
There's something. I'm going to talk about this even though we'll get an email correcting me, which is fine. There was something in India where at some point they hired people and they're like, there's too many cobras. We're going to start paying everyone. If you bring us a dead cobra, this is like the government. Mm-hmm. They're like, if you bring us a dead cobra, it's like a dollar or whatever it is.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
we have
G.I. Joe's.
G.I. Joe's, yeah. Cobra. So it's a dollar a head for a cobra or whatever. And so they're like, there's too many. People are getting hurt. Kids are dying, whatever it is. And they're like, this is now the thing, a dollar a cobra. So all these people started catching and killing cobras and bringing it in and getting paid. And then they thinned out cobras enough to where they're like, well, shit, this was actually a very lucrative thing. So they started catching cobras and breeding them.
Oh,
so then the cobra
God.
Population,
oh, no.
The cobra population went from like, let's call it a million. The cobra population went from like a million to 50,000 to like 10 million or something.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Because they're like, well, I'm basically printing money.
Right.
Like, so it feels like that could be a, I mean, if people are doing it because they love the Everglades, they won't do that. But it just seems like a slippery snake.
I was just doing it because I aged out of my parents' health insurance.
Cobra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, pythons, do they live in water?
They can, yeah. And they're huge. I think he said one of his friends caught one that was like 18 feet.
Yeah, they're big. Our zoo had two pythons. One just passed away, unfortunately. He aged out of his life.
He aged out of his life. I would just want us all to sit in that for a minute.
Sure. I mean, it happens. Also, I don't like wind. I can't explain wind. It just is in the air and it just happens and it's very confusing.
Fuck it. Brett, you are the gift that keeps on giving. You are the golden goose. Just when I think it's like we've squeezed all the juice out of Brett, you say wind. I don't know how it works.
I just hope we don't have any meteorologists that listen to this because they're getting mad.
Because you know what? Also, don't understand meteors. Why are they attacking the Earth? Why don't they use their radiology to destroy them?
Attacking the Earth? This rules. This rules.
I actually met a cobra not that long ago. Oh no, it was a boa constrictor.
Huge difference. Huge difference.
You're right. Difference.
I met a cobra.
They're very. I mean, it was. I touched it. It was okay. I was okay with it. Not a big snake fan, but I've watched enough shows to know that, like, you know, they're not. The teeth aren't gonna. No poison.
And they don't
ever really bite. They just constrict type stuff.
Depending on the snake.
Well, the meet and greet I was at for the snake.
Well, here's the thing, Brett. You basically said, I once shook hands with a serial killer. Maybe it was a Walmart checkout
I knew
person.
What he was getting into. I knew he was going to kill him eventually.
This summer I worked at concert venues and we also did county fairs, things like that. And I was working at a rib festival where we set up a stage where Foghat played, by the way, in Bachman Turner Overdrive, which is pretty cool. But there was a guy there because we had some downtime and he had a truck and it was just like a reptile truck where you walked in and there are just snakes in there for you to look at. This is something at the Rib Festival. We just had this.
Of course.
And he was like, hey, do you guys want to come? Because we were there before it like opened. So people were just people brought ribs over to us, which was really nice because we were just building the stage and doing all that shit. And this guy was like, hey, you want to come in? And I was like, yeah. I walked in and like all the snakes were in these like little glass cages on the sides of the truck, but they all were lunging at me like, and their heads were hitting against. And even though I knew I was safe, I mean, you could see it out of the corner of your eye and you're turning around and just behind you and in front of you, they're just snakes like lunging. It was terrifying.
Oh, that's awful.
It's
terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's
so awful. I didn't spend a lot of time in there, but that was something else.
That's rough.
I have to assume snakes don't know what glass is.
You're right.
Yeah, it might have been too clean. Yeah,
they don't know. Also, Rob, you said downtime. I never thought about it. Do you think all time for ducks is downtime? God. Something to think about.
That was almost, I was about to say I worked at a county fair. And it was 800 that year.
I went to aforementioned World News Tonight member Becca Barish. Her and I went to a corporate gig in India. And as we traveled around and we saw the sights. And at some point, I think we were in, what's the pink city?
New Delhi?
Jaipur. We were in Jaipur. We went to New Delhi at some point, but Jaipur, which is gorgeous. And we were walking around Jaipur and there was a guy who had
the snake charmer.
Stereotypical snake charmer. Mm-hmm. And he persuaded us and we were like, I guess this is, we have to
do
this.
Oh, he charmed you. Interesting.
When in Rome, he charmed us.
Seemed real obvious.
I floated in the air like a finger made of odor was wafting towards me and pulling me up towards cooling pie on a windowsill. But we took pictures with the cobra and Becca touched it. Like the guy was like, you can touch it. Ugh. So she touched it for her photo. And then my photo, he was like, please touch it. And I go, no. And he goes, you can touch it. It's fine. I go, No. I don't know if they like defanged it, like if that's like their thing or something. But there, I was like, I'm the guy who people are like, oh, this never happens. And then it happens to me. Right. Like I've been on like roller coasters where they go to put the bar down and it won't latch. And they're like, huh, this has never happened. And then whatever it is. And then the ride starts. I'm like, I'm going to die.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not tempting fate. But it was.
No. If you see something, snake something. Like don't fucking touch it.
If you see something, snake something. Folks, we can't leave you with a better message than that. Brett, why don't we snake back to the beginning word?
I wonder, something if your feet are hurting, you could say, ooh, my snakes are hissing?
I mean, ooh, that's better than dogs barking.
I mean, true.
I like
all
that.
All right, well, I will eat an apple, and my snake body just got one scale bigger. As I continue to go in this maze and eat apples, I will cherish the time we have together every other week when we record these podcasts. And while we might not ever win a prestigious award, we love when you do review the show. So click on those stars, click on those bars, click on the country and planet of Mars if you can.
And avoid the clouds.
If you're up there, you know, watch out for turbulent weather coming our way. If you can explain wind to me, where it comes from, how it just appears one day and it's just windy as hell, but other days it's really calm.
Yeah.
Where's it at? Where's it coming from?
And Brett, what did you give up for turbulent this year?
I gave up turkey because I celebrate turkey lent. Turkulent.
Studs turkulent. You can email us at twapod@gmail.com. Let us know what we say that your kids might overhear in the car.
I mean, a lot. I mean, yeah.
Probably yeah, a lot. Send us, we'd love to hear any stories, any thoughts, any words you might have for us to use in future episodes. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Send in the clouds.
No, don't. It's so... I mean, they're up there. They're plotting.
Send in the... Let's get clouds.
Let's get clouds.
Let's get clouds.
All the cumulus shout out loud. I fucking hate clouds.
Outstanding.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.
You sit down, take your shoes off, and you go, whew, below my ankle is a stankle.
Okay, I actually like that one.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.